righty. We're back and we have a couple more minutes on this one. If you go ahead there, Sam, thank you.
The suicides, the shootings, etc. The history is just so critical for people to understand, Curtis. This is an issue that's near and dear to my heart. I always tell people, if you can homeschool, it'll be one of the best decisions you ever make in your life. It's the gold standard. I recognize not everybody can or wants to homeschool, and so there are other options that I think are good. But homeschooling really is an incredible joy. And you're right. It's not government school at home. People have to get rid of that idea. Right. The last thing in the world you would want to do is government school at home. Why hurt your children in that way, right? Good homeschooling takes maybe a few hours in a day. I mean, you're not spending 6, 7, 8 hours a day. You don't need to. And still, your children will be light years ahead of the victims of the government schools. There are some good private schools out there, but I think it's really important to put out a major warning here. A lot of the private schools are worse than the government schools in very serious ways. And you're going to pay $50,000, $100,000 a year for the privilege of having your children turned into woke lunatics that hate you. So you got to do your due diligence. You know, Catholic schools, half of them have now adopted Common Core. Half of all the dioceses in the United States have adopted Common Core for their Catholic schools. Why in the world would they do that? And why would a parent pay money to have the same dumbed-down education in a Catholic school that you're getting in a government school? So if you're going to send your children to a private school, do your due diligence. There's a lot of questions that you need to ask, starting with basics. You know, what does the school believe? What is your philosophy of education? Why do you do education? How do you teach reading there? You know, what are your core values? What kind of materials? They're your children, right? You've got to seriously do your due diligence and make sure that this is an acceptable institution with acceptable people to delegate that responsibility to. There's no do-overs as parents, right? And we all want to do our best, but if you mess it up, you don't get to try again. So really spend some time thinking about this, folks. I do believe that we need to rethink the whole thing. And so what I do at the end of the book in a very long afterword is I go back and look at the type of education that existed in America before the government camel nose got under the tent. And it's light years apart, and it worked so much better. So there are lots of good options, but I would urge every parent out there, even grandparents, anything you have to sacrifice to get your children out of the public schools, it will be a worthwhile sacrifice. And I say only half kidding. I would live in a cardboard box before I would send my children to public school. So parents, please think about this, pray about it, and protect your children.
Let's put the book back on screen real quick for TV viewers. Indoctrinating our children.
Where'd he come from? I didn't even know he was hooked in there anywhere. But yeah, it's very interesting. I missed the little spot before he went to homeschooling. He said, how can we save our children? Or that was the question being answered. And that's what we have to do. And there's a lot of people doing it. And like he says, it doesn't have to be hours and hours. I know neighbors, Christians that homeschooled their children. They kept one room as a little school room. And so, you know, but they also taught them how to drive the farm machinery and do everything else, you know, at different chores at different times. Like as soon as they were big enough, they could learn to wash dishes and, you know, and then they each had sheep. These people raised sheep, and they each had their own certain sheep that they knew. And when they were about age 12, I think that was. And it was funny, because while I was living here, they've state changed it so that the to do that home training, you still had to get a certificate or something from the state. Maybe it was county, but I think it was a state. You know, and this is just something we've always done, is teach our children, you know, and they're all very good drivers, you know, from handling all kind of equipment. In fact, the one daughter has four sons now, and one of the grandmothers comes over while she helps their income by driving a school bus, you know, for a couple hours in morning and afternoon. And so, you know, it just makes well-rounded people. And, you know, some people would question, oh, well, why aren't they going to college? And why would you even want to go to college at this point, you know? What are they teaching there? Nothing that you can't learn on your own. No? So, anyway, they did what nature does, is help them find a mate and start a family. So that's what they all did. And now I was watching this thing with Randall Carlson, and someone had sent it to me, but I've watched some things with him before. Very interesting guy. But I think it was in the YouTube version, it's longer, where he talks about trying to say that the, you know, Noah's flood was a myth, and that, oh, where did all this water come from? And like I read at the beginning of the show there, it was Genesis 7:11. It came up from the deep as well as from above. You know, so there's plenty of water. So there's still a lot of it hanging around. And, yeah, it's, our planet is so much different than we're taught. And, but the stuff about flat Earth, I can't see that either. So, now maybe the Earth really is the center of the solar system. That's a possibility. And that's what was thought at first. And then we had Copernicus and Galileo, and, you know, so it's hard to say, but we're told that morning and evening and the seasons, and will be here with us till the end of time. So you have to have some faith, and we even get that from Jesus Christ, you know. So this is pretty interesting. This third clip here, I want Sam to play if you want to get that ready. This is Randall Carlson, and they're talking about a thunderstorm generator, and it's very interesting because what it ends up doing, if you listen, is it purifies the air and puts fresh air back into instead of exhaust coming out of a car. And that's kind of what that fellow that was killed at the grocery store that was working there, he had been running his truck on water for 4 years. You need a little bit of petrol to start for the heat, and then it actually pulls in the pollutants and turns it into oxygen. It's very interesting. So Sam, if you want to go ahead and start that.
The other hydrocarbons, probably like methane and whatever else, and oxygen. Okay, so flip the technology on. You can sit there, I can watch the mass spectrometer, I can watch the gas analyzer. You're looking at like 10% or parts per million. Let's see, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, and oxygen were in percentages, methane and nitrogen oxide were in parts per million. So basically, oxygen is like at a 4 or 5% coming out of the exhaust, which is about typical for a generator like that. You got, I think, like 10, 11 was a 12% of CO2, CO, etc. So as you're watching it, here's what happens. The carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, methane, hydrocarbons, and nitrogen oxides start going down. Oxygen starts coming up.
Interesting.
CO2 zeros out. Carbon monoxide zeros out. The nitrogen oxides go down to just a few parts per million, as does the other hydrocarbons. Oxygen tops out at over 20, I don't remember exactly, between 20 and 21%, which is optimum percentage of oxygen for pure unpolluted air. So what is now coming out of the generator, the generator with the technology, is pure unpolluted air.
No kidding.
Whoa. Kidding. Yeah. On top of that, what it's doing, it's capturing everything that's coming out, and it's feeding it back into the thunderstorm generator. So at the initial, in order to get the plasma separation to occur, I think you have to get it up to like 700 and some degrees. But once you do that, it's almost, not quite, but almost self-perpetuating. And you just have to replenish the water. Like, I forget, however few hundred hours that it runs, you have to replenish the water. And that's it.
Man, and you've seen this.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. And I've known, you know, multiple people now that have seen it. The Admiral, he took it back to India. India is seriously looking at it and as a retrofit for their Navy.
Man.
The industrial, and I can show you this on the computer, too. I've got photographs of, like, the big industrial scale application on the 300 kilowatt Perkins generator on the substation in London. I mean, they're testing it, and they may start retrofitting all of their because it doubles to triples the efficiency of these engines.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And you think that they had this back in ancient times?
Some iteration of it, I suspect. I suspect, and here, now, it just gets more bizarre as we go on. When you create these vortexes, you start this spiral motion inside the sphere, and then it travels down. So you got an outer cylinder and an inner cylinder. And one vortex is inside the outer, but outside the inner. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then the next vortex going in the opposite direction and the opposite spin is inside the next cylinder.
Okay.
Now, in order to transition from, and again, I can show you this on here because I got photographs of all the components, how they fit together, videos of them being assembled in the machine shops right here on this laptop so you can see it. You can't, like, if you have a sphere and you just cut a round hole in it and you stick a cylinder onto it, it's got this, like, sharp edge, and that would induce turbulence that would affect this coherent, organized vortex that forms. So you have to have a transition between the cylinder and the sphere to prevent that turbulence from being introduced. Experimentation has shown that one angle seems to be optimum for minimizing the introduction of the turbulence. What do you think that angle is?
I don't know.
51.84 degrees. Slope to base of Khufu's pyramid. Another coincidence? I don't know. But that leads me to think, okay, I've suspected all along that these pyramids and these structures are part of an ancient technological system, probably somewhat along the lines of the principles of Nikola Tesla, right? Who was able to generate energy by setting up some kind of a relationship between the Earth and the ionosphere. I don't know what's going on there. I'm still trying to figure out. Listen, I was in kindergarten 2 years ago. Now I'm in first grade. But when I was there at this testing, I'm seeing these scientists, physicists and engineers, stuff, they're all scratching their heads going, okay, we see this, but they've been struggling for a year now to explain what is actually happening. There's a fellow by the name of Bob Greenier, who I think has probably come as close as anybody. He's head of the Martin Fleischmann Memorial Project. Martin Fleischmann was one of the pioneers in these alternative energies, particularly working with plasma. Brilliant, brilliant mind. He came on board about a year ago, and he was at there was a Tesla Tech conference in last summer in Albuquerque, and my pal and partner in HowTube.com did the live streaming out to, I don't know, a couple of thousand people around the world that paid to be able to witness. And what they did in front of a live audience on a stage is they brought in a generator and retrofitted it right there. And as a result of that, several things happened. From there, it went to this research lab in North Carolina. From there, it went to a conference in Zurich where it was presented. Malcolm then went and spent 2 months in India demonstrating and building prototypes. And so, I mean, this is the phase where it's at now. Let's see, what else?
They're really looking at this.
What?
People are really paying attention to this.
People are starting to pay attention to this. Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's a really interesting video that I would recommend watching. It's an interview with the gentleman is named George Lush. He works in high performance metals. He contracts, he's third generation. Their company, I think, was founded in 1951. He's contracts to the aerospace industry and NASA and all of this, these high performance alloys and stuff. And he did the annealing of this thunderstorm generator in England. And there's an interview, like a 20-minute interview with him afterwards. And it's really worth watching because he's like, he says, I'm the biggest skeptic around. And what I saw can't happen. What I saw is impossible, but I saw it. He's there with his, he had a thermal analyzer. And we've got videos of him here and there testing as this stream of stuff is moving through these cylinders and pipes and stuff. And literally with 4 inches, the temperature can change by over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And he says, this is impossible. He says, I kept testing and testing and testing with my thermal analyzer, and it came up the same every time. He says, I'm not sure what, he says, we're just at the beginning of trying to figure out what the hell is happening here. But then he went in to discuss the potential applications of it. Now, one of the big questions is okay, when you do look at these readouts, okay, carbon monoxide, the other things go down. In some cases, zero out. In other cases, it doesn't zero out entirely, but it's only a small fraction of what it had been. Meanwhile, the oxygen's gone up. So then the question, okay, where did the carbon dioxide go? Where did the carbon monoxide go? Well, it looks like it somehow got transmuted on the atomic level into oxygen. And how bizarre that the concentration of oxygen coming out of the exhaust pipes is the optimum oxygen that we would want for unpolluted, breathable air. And that's what's coming out.
Man, that is...
And George Howard was there. I watched him do this. He got down with his mouth right there and started huffing the plasmoids or whatever coming out, you know, to show, yeah. He did the same thing at the Tesla Tech conference in Albuquerque. We've got it on video, him getting down there and huffing. It's a running joke now, you know, that he got down there and was... And they initially started up the generator on the stage, and within, once the generator got warmed up, the fumes coming out got so strong that they had to move the generator out onto the loading dock. Then they turned the technology on, and within a few minutes, instead of all this pollutant and stuff coming out, it's air.
Man.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to lay it all on you, Nancy. I'll give you the whole the links. You can go, and there's a fellow in Australia, a young guy doing research named Jordan Collins. Jordan Collins. He's called, his website's called Alchemical Science. He's done a really great breakdown and analysis of the whole thing, and he's got ideas about what he thinks, how it's working. But he's been actually in contact with Roland Perry. There's a video that you can also get. I'll give you the link that you can. It was made about 5 years ago where they first did a retrofit of a car, retrofitting an internal combustion engine. And Roland Perry is there interviewing the two mechanics who had just completed the retrofit. And it's not a big deal at all. And then he's test driving the car at the end of it. So Jordan Collins, who's also in Australia, goes down and met Roland Perry in the machine shop where they did this, and they're talking about the car. You know, it's been sitting there for a number of years now, but talking about how, you know, what would be involved in retrofitting lots of cars. George Lush, the annealer, the high performance metal guy, in the end of his interview, he talks about the potential application. He says, well, think about this. If you put this technology on cars, you know, you got billions of cars all over the world. You got hundreds of thousands of cars driving down city streets, and they're putting out all of this stuff, right? With this technology, they're putting out air.
Yeah.
Putting out air.
That would eliminate fossil fuels.
Almost, but not quite. Fossil fuels would have them. But see, at this point, they're using fossil fuels to get those initial temperatures mm-hmm. to set the whole process in motion. But there's other applications that look like they could be, I mean, some of the stuff that I've seen some of these guys talking about is space travel, submarines, possibly even the conversion of hydrocarbon-based pollution in oceans into protein, which could be very interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about that, but that's one of the potential applications that's already been demonstrated to be possible. So, like I said, I'm still in first grade. Maybe I'm about to graduate to second grade, but I've got a lot to learn yet. So, you know, we can carry on this conversation. And if you're interested in keeping up with the developments, man, I'd love to keep you in the loop.
Yeah, I would love to.
It's exciting.
I would love to hear more about it.
Yeah.
On that note, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
All righty. I think that's the end of that. And that's pretty interesting. I was hoping somebody would call in and comment. And we have Tom in Utah. What do you have for us, Tom?
Hi, Mer. My comment is back on you're talking about the flat earth. I ran across, you know, I was, since I had my vision, how to say, removed from me in D.C., I was listening to a reading of the Old Testament, and I think I ran across a phrase which caught my attention, but I didn't make a notice where it was. It was either God or the Lord was standing on the circle of the earth. I tell people, log into Google, circle of the earth, Old Testament, I think, and you should find that phrase. So,
yeah, they also use the four corners of the earth. That's in the text, Bible text, too. But that's not what, you know, a circle can be a sphere. How are you going to, you know? Yeah, so you're saying you believe in the flat earth, Tom?
Well, yeah, somebody poked a hole in the balloon and it lost all its air.
Okay. Well, I don't think that happened either.
No. Heck no, I spent my time in the Air Force. And I actually prepared a couple of people to go on the shuttle, you know, with Jay Garn, and also I prepared Captain Kirk or William Shatner to go on his ride. And they will testify about the circle of the earth. When you get up above, you know, 30, 40,000 feet, you can see it very clearly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've heard other pilots say that. Field McConnell, for one, you know, who's a fighter pilot and would sometimes go up way higher than they usually go. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice again.
Yeah.
Okay. That part at the end where they're talking about protein in the ocean, I thought you would really find that interesting. You know, cause there's just so much animal stuff in the ocean. I don't think you want to be doing that.
Well, everything in the ocean is animal. Mm-hmm. Even people have been led to believe, and I've had people actually really upset. In fact, they stalled me when I explained to them the fact that the algae, the kelp, the nori, the plankton, mm-hmm. those are all microscopic animals. They're called cyanobacteria. And that was one of my first projects when I went into my university education was do a analysis on the seaweed. And I was in shock about that they are literally animal.
Yeah.
So there's nothing in the sea worthy of me. Nothing in the sea worthy.
You know, it's anyway. There for a reason. It's for who lives in the sea to appreciate it.
Well, their job is to filter, to clean the water.
Right. So it's even more pollutants, actually.
Yeah, it takes about 50,000 gallons of water to produce one pound of finished fish.
Wow.
That's a lot of crap going through the gills and system of the fish.
Yeah.
Just to produce 1 pound. And I used to have to go up to Petaluma, California, do the analysis on the marine life. And you would be in shock to find out what we find in the gut and in the tissues of the fish and the crab, you know, the marine life.
Yeah.
Anything that's in this, the most insane thing man can do is eat sushi, but you know,
right? Help. No raw fish for me, thank you very much. Cat might like it, but yeah, people like to be stylish and, you know, consume all the exotic stuff and then wonder why they don't feel so well. So you have something else, and then we do have another caller. And
that was it. I just wanted to tell you that there is the circle of the earth referred to in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that and seen it and read it. Yep. And like I said, the four corners, you know, and people use this as what they think is legitimate excuse to. But it doesn't take into account any of the other attributes and the way things operate.
Well, you know, I've been to the four corners of the earth.
Yeah, I bet
Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado.
Oh, all right. Four corners of the USA, anyway.
Yeah, I was assigned down there when they had the Hunter virus, the Hunter virus event back in 93.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I labored in the four corners.
Now, I remember you had something to say about the Hunter virus, too, that wasn't quite what we'd been told either at all.
Yeah. Virus is the debris from the accident, not the accident.
Yep. As Dr. Lorraine Day said, too. Yep.
Yeah, we're still trying to find out what took Lorraine.
Yeah, I heard you and Steve Elkins talking about it that one night quite a while ago after she passed, recently after she had passed. And apparently it was a heart valve, and, you know, that can be made to happen, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. Anyway, we're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Thank you. And we'll go on now to Roger in Ohio, please. On line 3. Hi, Roger.
Yes. Hello there. Nice to talk to you. Always enjoy listening to your sweet voice.
Oh, thank you.
You know, when someone lies to me, I never trust a person again, really. I mean, I always look at them a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they put their big knee pads on for Israel, that's when I usually turn them off, too. So I heard John Moore say that a long time ago about someone was criticizing Israel, and he just would have no hear of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vincent Finelli, I am almost positive that John Stadtmiller, he went to visit him one time, and Vincent acted like he didn't know him.
Well, no, that's not quite how it went. The story gets like, you know, the game Telephone or Gossip or whatever after a while. There were a lot of different things, and he had been to visit him more than once. You know, the one particular time Vince had been unwell, and you know, let bygones speak of bygones, right? Forgive and forget. Well,
this is what John said. I mean, I'm just going by what he said.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, Jeff Riz, which I used to really, really love, but a couple of weeks ago, he had this Damien guy on there that's published some book, mm-hmm. and Damien swore about the bloodbath that Trump said.
Mm.
And they actually, the producer, someone cut him off, explained to him that they took it out of context.
Right.
But this guy says, no, they didn't. No, they didn't. And Jeff went along with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, Jeff.
We're at the bottom of the hour. Can you hold on a minute?
Sure. I'll hold on. Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure. Just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Roger, what else do you have for us here?
Well, this probably be my last time I ever call in after I say this, but I used to be a real big fan of Mike Rivero. I mean, okay. I go way back listening to him.
Right.
But the longer I listened to him, some of the things he would say, I go, what? What, Mike? Really? Come on, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, when he went, him and his wife went to Louisville to get their JJ shot and everything. You know, this is one of many things. Mm-hmm. So every time I hear his voice on, I cringe. I usually turn it off.
Well, you're not the only one, sorry to say.
So I turn it off.
A lot of good information, but he is considered a gatekeeper, you know.
Yeah, he is a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Some guy, maybe 3-4 years ago, talking to Robert Revey. You know, the guy that's on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And he Robert says, hey, I think Mike's a gatekeeper. And Robert goes,
no doubt about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, the guy's, he's Mr. Liberal. I mean, if you want to have your token liberal as a spokesperson, I guess that's the guy to have. So, I don't know why they keep, I mean.
Well, he only comes now when he's invited as a guest. So.
We are so blessed to have Professor Fetzer taking his place. Mm-hmm. We are so blessed. He is so good. He's probably the best on your station, or one of the best.
Well, you know, Louette, just don't put anybody in front of God. That's all. And I do have a couple more callers here, Roger. And I would like Sam to play this short Creation Moments video. Did Job have a satellite before we go to... Jeff in Utah and Chance in West Virginia, if you don't mind. And so thank you for calling,
sure,
Roger.
Sure.
Did Job have a weather satellite? The answer is next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment host, Ian Taylor.
One of the most amazing things in our modern age is the scientist who thinks he can use science to judge the Bible. After all, many things accepted today as scientific fact were first taught in the Bible. Job chapter 36, verse 27 and 28 explain the water cycle in which, through evaporation, tomorrow's rains are drawn into clouds. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 7 explains why the rivers do not fill the seas. It tells us that there is a cycle of water from rivers to seas and back to fill the rivers again. It was not until 350 BC, long after Job had written, and over 600 years after Ecclesiastes was written, that Aristotle began to understand the water cycle. And finally, in 1841, a scientist using a thermometer, which Galileo invented in 1593, and a barometer, which had been invented by Torricelli in 1643, showed that clouds were actually the result of rising water vapor. Job chapter 37, verse 9, and Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 6, both speak of wind and weather patterns, which were finally confirmed in 1940. Many of the accepted facts of today's science were originally stated by God in the Bible. Science should not pass judgment on the Bible. After all, it has taken science thousands of years to begin to catch up with the Bible's level of knowledge about even such a simple thing as the weather.
For more information, visit us
That's
online
good.
At Creation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we'll go to Jeff in Utah now on line 5, I think it is.
Hi, Mer. How you doing?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good. I'd like to make 5 brief statements real quick, and then we can discuss them. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. When you fly somewhere in an airplane, why is it called an airplane, a plane being a flat surface? How is it that when you fly and you're landing on a spinning ball spinning 666,000 miles an hour, how come the landing gear doesn't get ripped off the plane when the plane's only traveling, coming in at 200 or 300 miles an hour? Let's see. In the Bible it says, then the earth shall not be moved, over and over and over again. NASA, which also, if you rearrange the letters and take out the T, which represents Christ on the cross, spelled Satan, the T, when the rockets take off, the first thing they say is T minus. So the T's out of it. So if you put the T in, it spells Satan. The spinning ball Earth is a CIA, NASA, satanic, psychological operation to take you away from God's creation.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. I don't really feel they need discussing because these are opinions. And it's amazing to me how they demonize the globe just because now it's popular to have, you know, flat Earth around again. So, there's no proof
can
for
you
that.
Why is it called an airplane if it's a plane refers to a flat surface? Why not call it an air circle or an air round? Why is it called an airplane?
There's sail planes, too, and it's spelled both ways. Sail, S-A-I-L, as if to reconnoiter on a flat surface.
On a flat plane. Right.
And I know D.W., the retired airline pilot, said that it looks flat when you're up in the air and you look down, it looks flat, but he sees his instrumentation correcting for curvature.
Okay, so he takes his hand and forces the wheel down every time to stay on the earth.
No, Jeff. Okay, that's enough. Okay, thanks for the discussion. We'll move on here to Chance in West Virginia. Thank you for the call, Jeff.
Yeah, hello, Mark.
Hi.
That one caller mentioned, I got bad vibes from those two hosts on RBN, too, a long time ago. I mean, you just mentioned Israel or the Mossad, and you'll see for yourself where they really stand. It's sad. It's a shame other people can't see it, but it's the way it is. But by the same token, I find Jeff Renz, Hal Turner, Vince Finelli, I always take something away from their show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wish I could listen to Finelli. He's doing a real public service by giving people solutions. Unfortunately, he's not on any of the platforms that I have access to, like satellite or shortwave. He's on those fancy, I guess, social media thing, I guess. And
I don't know. Can you get Brent's? Can you pick up Brent's?
I pick up Brent's on the satellite.
Okay, because he's on there now, apparently. I don't know what the schedule
is.
Yeah.
Jeff Renz is a good man, all right? Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to agree with him, but I sense Jeff Renz has a good heart. Al Turner gives you up-to-date information. Vince Finelli is giving people a service, something that they can use. I mean, how many times can some people tell you that you're enslaved by the system over and over or complain about it? What's needed are solutions. I mean, when you hear the history of how you're being enslaved, all right, it's good to a certain point, but over and over, you know, it just gets so depressing and makes you more anxious and depressed than you already are. The question is not that we're enslaved. What are we going to do about it? See, now at least when I told you about those other two hosts on RBN, I find them useless. I mean, really. I really wonder. Your one caller was right. I really wonder about them, and I stopped listening to them a long time ago. But guys like Renz, Turner, Finelli, they give you what you need. And even if they don't give you a solution, the information they're giving you is a heads up on how you're going to prepare.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think just to interrupt you here a minute, I think it's with each of us kind of what the mood we're in. You know what I mean? Because no one's perfect. You know,
no
those who have no other guns
before
me.
And you know who else is good? I'm sorry to cut you off. Is Dave Krieger from the Power Hour. He gives you things you can use.
Oh,
and
Von
so
Kleist.
Does,
oh no, me? Krieger. I'm not familiar with Dave Krieger. I guess.
Yeah, from the Power Hour. He took over for.
Well, that's Von Kleist.
What's that now?
He's on RBN now? It's
Dave
Von Kleist.
No, he's on, is it the Rents Network? On satellite.
Well,
on
Dave Von Kleist is on Tuesdays and Thursdays on RBN.
I heard him a couple of times.
That's not the same guy.
I go back to when he was married to Joyce Riley. That's a long time ago.
We've got two more callers. Here we got Sherry in Kansas and Mark in New York. Do you have something else for us here?
Yeah, well, the point I'm making is this. You know, what's needed are solutions, all right? Now, to talk about how we got to this point, it's fine, don't get me wrong. But to dwell on it over and over, who wants to be reminded you're a slave over and over? Think about it. I mean, you know how depressing that gets after a while?
Well, Chance, my answer to that is I'm a slave of Jesus Christ, and his burden is light.
Well, so am I. So am I. But while I'm here,
why Satan, you know, copies and mocks everything, because he wants to be God. But we just need to see this and try to be cheerful with each other as best we can. I mean, each of us has to watch that we don't, you know, lose our temper with others, which I did recently with someone.
Understand something. I'm guilty of that at times, too. You know why? Because things get so frustrating, and you see people bring up topics that aren't really relevant. I mean, they have some relevancy, because everybody has a rightful complaint, but they're not going to the source. They're not going for solutions. It's like they want to just have, you know, like a tea party talk, and after a while, it gets so frustrating. I want solutions. You know,
what we have to do, though, is not expect other people to just dish out. I know I always heard that about communitarianism. They'd get mad at Lark. And if you think about a Hegelian dialectic, you have capitalism, which everybody acts like that's, you know, like better than sliced bread. And it is usury. That's all it really is.
It's
Judaic usury, right? And communism then is Judaism, as Rabbi Weiss said in 35 and many others, and you put them together and you get communitarianism and a whole lot of other isms. And they're going to use this. The more fearful they make everyone, this is going to sound like, you know, great, okay? Because you see community everywhere, right? You don't see neighborhoods, you see community, right?
Of course. But see, this is why I vary my topics, my call. I try to, it's like pissing in the wind, really, most of the time. But I try to awaken people to what's really important, the people that you care about first, the people you love. Think about that first, whether they've passed on or not. What have they taught you? Now you go to step two. You learn that lesson. Now you find out what's really important.
Right.
You don't want to dance around the fire. You want
to. This is why we need to pray without ceasing, because he will show us what we're ready for, and it'll be different for each of us.
Yeah,
Sherry dropped off. Uh-oh.
Okay, well, you know what I'm trying
Maybe
to say.
Maybe she'll call back.
And that one caller was right. You know, those two hosts, I found out a long time. And I still hear people mention their names as if they're some kind of a savior. I mean, I'm shocked. I can't believe it. I said, you can't see through this? I mean, I'm not saying they're bad people now. I'm just saying something's wrong, man.
Well, radio, just radio in general, it's the power of our voices, you know?
Well, you got too many egos in radio, too. That's one another thing I don't like. It shouldn't be about egos. It should be about a public service. I mean, that should be the definition of Patriot Radio. It shouldn't be about egos. It shouldn't be about, I mean, that's laughable when it gets to that point.
I'm going to have to let you go here so we can get Mark in New York. Maybe Sherry will call back. Thank you for calling, though. Sherry, Mark, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
The schedule for Vince Finale USA Prepares would be following on Rents Radio Network, 7 to 9 a.m. Central, and it's a day delay. So Vince's Friday show will be on Monday morning on the Rents Radio Network, and I'm happy to see that.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
Thanks for the info. Yeah.
That's all.
Oh, thank you. So Sherry didn't call back, huh? Well, we're almost out of time anyway, it looks like. But I really appreciate everyone coming and finding the new chat room and calling in. And I hope you derive something from what I'm trying to say. I think primarily the whole nugget here is don't discount the Bible. Don't try to reinterpret it either. But the real law is the Ten Commandments. You know, there's other statutes and decrees in there, and he has promised to keep us well. Deuteronomy 7:11-15 tells us that if we keep us, he will keep us sick, keep us from sickness, you know. And Dr. Lorraine Day often talked about that. And she was a living example of how to heal, because she spent all those round-the-clock, you know, drinking black coffee and operating on people when they'd have their gang fights and things in San Francisco. And it was funny, I remember after one of her Bible studies, I guess it was, she was talking about how the hospital where she worked in there was like up on a hill. And it made her think about how they have, you know, that's always mentioned in the Bible, the trees and the incense and the, you know, where they sacrifice to Satan and things up on the hills. And that makes me think about Bohemian Grove. And interesting that none of the directed energy weapons or whatever caused the fires managed to hit over there. You know, if that ever happens, you might wonder if something good is coming out of it. You know, I hate to see trees burn up and everything, but they're used just like everything else. Jesse Sobota and others, you know, that, and it's kind of interesting that I guess it was Jefferson said about the Tree of Liberty had to be watered with blood, but that's what they actually do in satanic rituals. So there's always so much more to learn and just to notice what's going on. You know, we've had a couple of nice blue days, but yesterday I noticed as a jet was flying and definitely just condensation, it was evaporating. But meanwhile, there were two really big, long, well, three actually, trails of something that was dispersing. It wasn't, you know, condensing and dissolving. And that was another pet peeve with Rivero, you know, and the stuff with NASA. Yeah, chemtrails or whatever you want to call them, they are doing stuff. And Jim Lee, the climate viewer over at YouTube, I called in here once, and his thing is, I mean, what does he say? Cirrus clouds matter, that's C-I-R-R-U-S, and that pollution from the jet fuel is what causes a lot of this. And but some of it, it looks like it's maybe it's pollution and they're, you know, purposely spraying it out or something, but I don't know. It just, we're just under siege in so many ways, you know, but all in all, it's still an amazing time to be alive and to share the gospel with others, I think. So, anyway, I hope you people have enjoyed it. And I did put the links in number 4, yourstrulymer.chatango, so you can look a little further. I would say especially the Randall Carlson video, the whole show of Ryan, whatever his name is, that interviewed him, is in there. And I'm pretty sure that's where it was, not the Rumble clip that I had Sam play, where he says about the myth of the flood, and he thinks there must have been many floods. And, you know, they have to incorporate all this lies, all these lies about the evolution and the time. And this is all made up by man. You know, science started out, they incorporated God. God was in it, you know? And it's only since turning away from God and mocking him that we run into so much trouble. But have a good weekend, people, and I'll see you next week. Na svidaniya.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join